You are listening to the Become a Guitarist Today podcast with Adam Roach.
Hey there, and welcome to episode number 177 with my guest today, the one and only Joe Satriani. So Joe has been a huge influence on me growing up, playing his songs in high school, studying the guitar, teaching my students how to play some of his songs. I feel very grateful to do this interview. And as well as being a huge influence on myself, I know Satriani has been an influence to a lot of guitar players who I've interviewed on the podcast as well, including my collaboration partner, Phoenix van der Weyden. So you'll be able to hear a lot of the Satriani influences on our new album called The Mission. Again, the link is in the show notes. So in this episode, we talk about his new album called The Elephants of Mars, which is actually out now. So it's a great album, 14 tracks, and there's a lot of different styles on the album as well, but still staying true to the Joe Satriani guitar playing, which is amazing. So we also discuss the musicians on the album and the artist, including his son, ZZ Satriani, who is the guy behind the videos. The opening track you're hearing today is from the album. It's called Pumpin', which is a really cool song. And you'll be able to hear parts of his other songs throughout today's podcast as well. Now, you'll notice in my show notes, I have a new button there where you can actually donate to the podcast. And I had my first one last week, and I'd like to thank a few people for donating. So first of all, my sister, Christy Mellish, thank you very much. Donnie Ewers from the US, and also Roger Martin from the UK. So thank you all for donating. Really, really appreciate it. And it does help run the podcast as well. So if you would like a shout out on the podcast, or even just like to donate, press that button, and I'll be very, very grateful. Thank you. Now, a huge thank you to my sponsors for today's podcast as well, Custom Guitar Picks. So the number one music learning app, Musician, all the guys there, thank you very much. And also from France, Arnold Krakowka. So check out his drum tracks, really cool. So let's go over to the interview now with Joe Satriani.
Hello there.
Hey, how are you?
Very good, how are you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Looks like we both got some guitars and amps around us. That's perfect.
I know. If only I could play like you.
Recording in progress.
So welcome, Joe Satriani, the one and only.
I guess so. I have to apologize. I'm losing my voice because we've done so much online stuff starting this morning.
Yeah.
Almost talked out, but I've got enough for you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, congratulations with the new album, Elephants of Mars.
Thank you.
Yeah, this album is just fantastic. Every song, it's different, but it flows in together.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
So just going over the musos for the album. So we spoke about Ray. So Ray Thistlewaite, all the way from Australia on keyboards.
Yeah, I found Ray quite by accident. I was looking for a keyboard player to join me on the shape-shifting tour late 2019. And I think I was on a keyboard magazine site that was running a few articles on up-and-coming keyboard players. And I think the article was quite old, actually. It wasn't that current. And I saw Ray was one of the keyboard players covered, but the picture of him was a guy with really long hair and a beard. And they had a picture of him playing a Gibson 330 as well as keyboards. And I didn't recognize him. But at the end of the page, there was a video clip of him playing with the band Knower and Lewis Cole, specifically Lewis Cole. And I knew that band. And I thought, I know that video. I've watched it 100 times. But what's that got to do with this guy, Ray? So I watched the video again, and I realized that the keyboard player with the really short hair stuck in the corner of a stairway was actually Ray. Oh, wow. I was totally blown away. Yeah. By his musicianship. So after doing a little digging, I found out his manager was right there in LA. So I gave him a call and we got the introduction going, and he agreed to join the tour. Cool. And then of course all this happened. So, but I'm so happy he's with us. I really am thrilled to play with him.
Yeah. So I mean, I've heard a lot of his stuff from Thirsty Merc, you know, here in Australia. And you know, he played guitar and sang. So I had to actually go back and watch some of those videos of him on the piano. It's like, wow, he's incredible.
He is. He really is. Yeah. I mean, his technique and his flow as a musician is really, really beautiful. I mean, it's just everything he touches, he makes sound naturally musical, whether it's complicated or simple. It's really a remarkable gift he has.
Yeah, for sure. And then you have Kenny on drums.
Been
playing with Kenny for a while now.
Yes. Yeah. Well, he was in Chickenfoot for the last tour we did. And then we, in 2019, we put together a trio to with Doug Pinnick to join the Experience Hendrix tour. Yes. Had a blast on that. And in between those tours, we recorded Shapeshifting. So yeah, we've been playing a lot together recently. He's just awesome. I mean, he makes the best grooves and creates the best sound. And the inertia that he creates live is just really so charismatic. And, you know, a lot of drummers can hit and play, but not very big on the charisma scale. Yeah. But, you know, he's like Taylor Hawkins and a lot of drummers that we know about because they have this charisma that is this extra thing that comes with their talent as musicians. It's really fantastic.
So two amazing musicians so far. Now we go into the
Yes.
Bass.
Brian Beller, you know, he's been with me for almost 8 or 9 years now. I knew Brian from the Steve Vai band. And of course, once he got in the band, he also had a thing going with Marco Miniman called the Aristocrats. And that's got Guthrie Govan on there as well. An absolutely frightening progressive rock trio. And Brian is just like one of those amazing musicians who can write and play and do tours, tour after tour. I mean, he's such a professional, but at the same time, he's totally open to any kind of creative idea you might have. Yeah. You hand him a bass he's never played before, he'll work it out. You ask him to play fretless and do some other things, he'll figure it out. You know, he has that ability to adapt to any situation. And then plus he's so much fun on stage. He's just a great rock performer. Once you get him on stage, that's why I think I've really had the most fun playing with him is live.
Mm. Yeah. I noticed this morning he got that little bass. I know what it was, that sliding on the live stream. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. You know, it's really hard to play fretless. Mm. It's hard to mic it up a real fretless bass. So it's great that there's this technology that allows somebody like Brian to pick up and get that whole fretless world happening for a recording, but with the intonation and the ease of a modern instrument, well-intonated electronic, so that you could record it in almost any situation.
So that's pretty much your touring band, and plus on the album. So you also have Eric on the album as well.
Yes.
Keyboards and produced it and engineered.
Yeah. Well, Eric Kodja and I have known each other since 96. He was the editor that was brought in for the very first G3 DVD compilation. Oh, yeah. So we needed someone who could take all the recordings from all the bands, the three bands, all the right performances from each band and put them all together to present to the engineer, which was Mike Fraser, so they could all get mixed. And during that process, we just became really good friends. We did an album together a few years later, called The Engines of Creation. Then he joined the band because he's a really good guitarist and keyboard player. And so we toured for a few years. And then I should actually count up how many albums we've done together, but I don't know. I apologize. I don't know offhand. But it seems like at least every other album he has had a hand in doing, either editing, co-producing, doing some additional mixes or something. He's done a lot of things. On this album, he played some keyboards. Anything that doesn't sound like a solo, that's stuff that we can handle as keyboard players. he plays oud, on Sahara and a few other. He plays some sort of Turkish instrument. So he's a multi-instrumentalist, great producer and engineer, and he was able to be the central guy that would take recordings from Ray in Australia, the other guys in LA, me up here in San Francisco, and pull it all together and then finally mix the album with Greg Collar right there in Burbank. So yeah, fantastic guy, just super creative.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about the oud and everything. So that's actually him playing, is it?
Yeah, he brought it to, it's actually in the video that ZZ did for us for the song Sahara. He's actually, you can actually see him playing it.
Oh, cool.
He's quite good at
it. Yeah. Yeah, another tricky instrument.
Yeah.
That's great. But wait, there's more. There's one more person. Can't forget about Ned on the spoken word.
Yes, I know. A limited role. But actually, that song was so close to being finished. And it was Eric's idea to have Ned come in and do some spoken word. And Ned, of course, was in another remote location. He was in Galveston, Texas. But he has a studio of his own because he's a musician, singer, songwriter, performer. And so he kicked that out really fast for us. And he's so good at voiceovers. He's an amazingly prolific, creative person. He's my partner in the company, Satch Tunes. We produce this, the Crystal Planet comics.
Oh, yeah.
And we've written, about 20, 25 different science fiction stories that we're developing. So, known Ned for like 30 years. Amazing. Yeah.
Wow, so you got lots of things going on. You got that one. You got your artwork.
Yes, the artwork's so much fun. I can't believe someone give me space in their galleries to paint. We finished three openings in Miami and New Jersey, and we've got another one for Washington, D.C. coming up in June. I've got 10 more guitars to paint, so I've got to get busy.
Wow, that's incredible. It's funny, like a lot of people I spoke to, like different guitarists have, being really good at art as well as the guitar. It seems like they go together.
Yeah, if you can channel your artistic urges, that's really great. I mean, that's what we live for as artists, is just to have an outlet where we can express ourselves.
Yep. Now, talking about artwork, the album cover. So that was Todd.
Yes.
Filippo.
I've known Todd since the very first Chickenfoot record. He designed the logo and did all the packaging. He had been working with Sammy Hagar for Cabo Wabo. He does all kinds of products as well as album covers and campaigns for clothing manufacturers. And he was the one that came up with this. As you know from looking at the clips we put on the website, he talks about how he got this whole thing going. And look at that, all that is just so cool. He is really an artistic genius. And I love that he just works with his hands. He draws and he cuts things, little pieces of paper up, and he really makes sure that it works in the real world, not just on a computer.
And I love, I saw the video, he's talking about the back of that cover as well, where he's got you with the guitar, but the guitar.
Yes, yeah, there. Here it is. That's really something, yeah. You don't see the guitar because it's not there, it's here.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. That's really clever. Really clever. And yeah, like you were talking about before, your son did the video for the latest one this morning and Sahara as well.
Always great, to work with him. He has such an original vision every time we get together to work on something, like with the 1980 video from the Shapeshifting album. I had no idea, when he sprung this idea on me to be in the room with all the Marshall stacks and then drawing, he did all the drawings around the faces and just really great. He's such a creative guy and he's so easy to work with because he just takes care of everything. He's very organized and professional, but everything's always fun. Everything's always fun when you work with him.
Yeah. So he's always been into the art growing up?
Yeah. I mean, when he started, since he was an avid skateboarder, he started making skateboarding films.
Okay.
And, he was learning art and music. So he wound up getting a degree in art and filmmaking at Occidental in Los Angeles. But he had played music in school and he had done some acting when he was in high school as well. But really the video thing, I think when he was about maybe 10 or 12, he started doing the podcast for us, the video podcast from the tour, and slowly started to move into getting more and more into film. Yeah, at this point, if you go to zzsatriani.com, you get to see all of the films that he's done.
Yeah.
He's got a YouTube channel with everything, even the little short film he did for Sammy Hagar. And his Beyond the Supernova is now available at iTunes or Amazon Prime, as well as Kello, of course, worldwide.
Excellent. We'll be right back. going over to some of the tracks on the album. So I know we spoke about Sahara, which when I first heard it, so I always write down notes of what I'm thinking when I hear it the first time.
Yeah.
So the first thing I wrote down was a Bollywood movie.
Great. with a million dancers, of course.
Yeah, that's right. So it's funny to see like what you think and then you see the film clip and then you get a totally different perception of it as well.
Yeah, I think that's where videos have, I've always thought it was really great when a video director comes up with a concept that is completely additional to what perhaps the song is about or what the song means on the album. Yeah. And this adds another dimension because honestly, when it's an instrumental song, you can't make people think about the song the way you do. You know, that you realize that you once you release it, you're basically giving it up to the fans. They're going to use it and put their own story, their own imagination into it. Yeah. So it kind of goes hand in hand that ZZ would take the song and think, okay, I'm going to think about maybe not elephants at all. Yeah. I'm just going to think about, you know, or I'm not going to think about the desert at all. I'm just going to think about this guy on this journey, but he is going to Mars, so I'll make everything red, you know. And he had some really beautiful artistic layers that he put on top of everyone's performance. Yeah. But then he also let everybody just be themselves and perform, you know.
And even this morning with the new film clip, Elephants on Mars, yeah. Right? Again, when I first heard that, I could picture, you know, the elephant storming down. And then when it gets to that breakdown part, like the going through the water, you know, and then back to the Mars, touching on, and then going crazy at the end.
So, yeah. See, now we thought, it's funny, we thought that the beautiful section of that song, the breakdown, I always saw as like female elephants, you know, like, because the first part is like the guys, you know, and yeah. They're charging, they're the elephants that are going to take back control of Mars. But then you get the softer side of the female elephants frolicking in the Mars, whatever, field, pond, river, whatever. Yeah. And, It's just so funny that that you know ZZ's concept was, okay, I'm not gonna, you know, go to the zoo and film elephants, and I'm not gonna force the guys to go out into the desert and you know run around like they're in the movie Dune. So he came up with a totally different concept, which again, as I said, it adds a new layer of fun to listening to the movie. And you know, and of course the musicians, we get to goof off, which is always good. And of course the actors, you know. Jackson, Gabe, and Sammy are just really great. The whole idea of the old 16-bit video, you know, is really fun.
Yeah, it was good seeing the behind the scenes this morning on the live stream where you're on the green screen and doing your moves. And
I know, it's so funny. Yeah. When doing it is really always a lot of fun. It's strenuous. I mean, because you might do that for hours and hours and it's hot and sweaty and, you know, but... yeah, it's not a real job, as I point out to people, but someone's got to do it.
Yeah, going over to one of my favorites, I'd say, is Bluefoot Groove. I just love that.
Oh, nice.
Just the way you
groove,
and it's funny because I'm a guitar teacher. That's my main job, so I always look for songs that, you know, I could teach the kids little riffs to get things out of as well. And like with that one, yeah, you just got your little slides at the that.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah, that's why I'm so happy you like that. I really love simple songs. Growing up as a kid, you know, I can name so many songs that became so important to, you know, my memories of growing up having great times. And almost all of them are really simple. Mm. You know, they've got a simple riff like that, like Bluefoot Groovy.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, when you're 10 years old and doing stuff you probably shouldn't be doing and you're listening to the radio, that's the kind of stuff that is fun, you know? And so, yeah, why complicate it when you can figure out, you know, how to do it with as few notes instead of all of the notes.
Yeah, that's right. But towards the end of the song, though, you do go crazy and let it
out. Goes crazy, yeah. Of course. I mean, that's very sort of mid to late 60s approach to the songs where, you know, you play along with the media, you play nice for the beginning, but then eventually you can't help yourself.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you do. Yeah. There's one part I was trying to figure it out, but it seems like a really big stretch. I think it's just before the second verse. It's like that. Uh-huh. Something around there. I can't remember what
it is. Oh, yeah. But I think that's, I think that might be up here. It's here. It's one of these.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's totally
right. Yeah, old like Jimmy Page kind of a riff.
Yeah.
I'm detuned, by the way. That's why it sounds like that.
Is the whole album detuned?
Or just no, that song is not. For some reason, that one is in 440. I can't figure it out why that happens. Probably because I got excited about the, you know, writing it, and I grabbed the first guitar that was near and I recorded the main part.
Yep.
And then later on I went, oh, that one's at 440. So then I just followed it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a great song. But actually, even going back, the one before that, Faceless. So that one and what's the other song, 22 Memory Lane. I just love those melodies. Yeah, more slower songs, but yeah, it reminds me going back to Always Be Always With You. Another great one to teach the kids, and they love it. Or teenagers. I can really picture those. A lot of people learning those as well. And
yeah,
it's like I try to explain to my students. Yeah, it's all about thinking of when you're playing guitar, think of it like a voice. So you're getting these melodies out there, so you can. And it's like you can picture words going on as well as you're playing it.
So yes.
When I hear those two songs, that comes to me straight away. I can picture someone singing it.
Yes, yeah. That's always something that I've gravitated towards. I really like that in guitar melodies, that there's a clear separation between verse, chorus, and solo, and exposition, and bridge. It's important for me to want to listen to a song, you know, 1,000 times. It's got to have really strong foundation and really strong melodies that make sense.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Good. Now, good luck playing all those guitars. They look really good.
Yeah, thank you. And congratulations again with the album. I really look forward to hopefully seeing you guys down here as well.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll be there, hopefully 2023.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Right, cheers.
Bye-bye. Thank you.